state of national calamity after the country was hit by super typhoon Haiyan. He released a statement to speed up relief efforts for the victims, especially in the two worst affected provinces, Lita and Samar. The storm caused mass destruction and a major loss of life. Up to 10,000 people in total are feared dead. Tacloban is one of the worst affected cities. Alfred Romualdez is the mayor of the coastal province of Lita.
The people here show some, in just a few, some violent actions because they're hungry, because they're thirsty. It's not because they want to harm anybody.
Thousands of survivors are still desperately waiting for the aid effort to reach them. Robert Kresserer is a German aid worker taking part in the rescue operation.
Of course, we hear lots of details and many more, but most of them, unfortunately, are not very good and not encouraging at all. There's limited access.
He's your special delivery.
To get here for the once and for all of an enemy. Whose hand all man Dawn was on.
If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
We deliver them bullets and sell them their coffins.
I got a special delivery.
I've got a special delivery.
Here's your special delivery.
And I wish the doctor for it, the ear of Bush II. I'd ask, is it your favorite philosopher who recommend invading and exterminating all who defy us? Crying out justice, but seeking out triumph. Was it your Christ, unbeloved of empires? One nailed his ass to a post.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
So Craig Cobb. Craig Paul Cobb has undergone DNA testing to determine genetic ancestry. 86% European. And...
Give it to him.
14% sub-Saharan African.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Just wait a minute.
Go.
This is called statistical noise.
Sweetheart, you have a little black in you.
Yes.
Listen, I'll tell you this. Oil and water don't mix.
So, hey, bro.
No.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight, or Indigenous
right. Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian Land.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man come in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for the smart of the region of the region of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Time to clear the air. And we end this week in the way it began, with America's resident dunce, Sarah Palin, scraping the barrel of her long-deceased mind and using her all-time favourite analogy in an attempt to sound intelligent about the national debt.
Our free stuff today is being paid for by taking money from our children and borrowing from China. When that note comes due, and this isn't racist, so you know, try it anyway. This isn't racist, but it's going to be like slavery when that note is due.
It'll be like slavery. Given her well-established reputation as a world-class idiot, it's hardly surprising that she should choose to mention slavery in a way that is abominable to anyone who knows anything about its barbaric history. So here's an example. One of the most comprehensive first-person accounts of slavery comes from the personal diary of a man called Thomas Thistlewood, who kept copious notes for 39 years. Thistlewood was the son of a tenant farmer who arrived on the island of Jamaica in April 1750 and assumed the position of overseer at a major plantation. What is most shocking about Thistlewood's diary is not simply the fact that he assumes the right to own and possess other human beings, but is the sheer cruelty and brutality of his regime. In 1756, he records that a slave named Darby catched eating canes, had him well flogged and pickled, then made Hector, another slave, S-H-I-T, in his mouth. This became known as Darby's Dose, a punishment invented by Thistlewood that spoke only of the slave owner's savage and inhumanity. And he mentions a similar incident again in 1756, this time in relation to a man he refers to as Punch. Flogged Punch well, and then washed and rubbed salt, pickle, lime juice, and bird pepper. Made Negro Joe piss in his eyes and mouth. I could go on, but you get the point. When Mrs. Palin invokes slavery, she doesn't just prove her rank ignorance. She confirms that if anyone truly qualified for a dose of discipline from Thomas Thistlewood, then she would be the outstanding candidate. Thanks so much for watching.
Internet radio for smarter
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neofascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths and love, and as always, solidarity. Most importantly, solidarity to the entire original family in this time of strife and struggle. I'm your host, Angry Indian, and I'm here with our executive producer and engineer, Guadalupe Morales. And we have a really important interview coming up. Fanonian, who has been on the show before, he's been a guest before, Malachi Daniels. You've heard him. He's our resident Fanon expert, Franz Fanon. He's going to have a discussion about misogyny and interracial relationships. with Naila, a.k.a. Pulse Ratio My Ass, via Twitter. And we're going to be talking about a few things, and, you know, it's going to be a wide-ranging discussion, and it's going to be interesting, so you really need to stick around and check that out. Renisha McBride. It turns out that the man that shot her is now being charged with second-degree murder. Well, we'll just have to see what happens after this, because, you know, obviously he's being charged. It was ruled a homicide a few days ago by the medical examiner. And there have been white people all over the internet that have been screaming that this man is innocent and that he did what he was supposed to do and that he had a... People were even saying a First Amendment right. I don't know what a First Amendment right has to do with blowing somebody away for knocking on your door. You know, there's a lot of talk about her toxicology report. You know, she was 19 and she was hanging out. Okay, big deal. So because of this, then she deserved to be shot. You know, I mean, there's just, you know, tons of excuses on why the African community shouldn't be angry, upset, dismayed, afraid, right? You know, because of this, you know, there's no discussion about that. You know, and we heard the same thing when the Klan was running around. You know, there's nothing to worry about. Then they didn't lynch you. You know, right? When they were burning churches in the South. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, Bill Clinton was in. Big dog, you know, Stick Willie Bill Clinton. He was in. He didn't do anything about it. He did nothing about it. Could you imagine if they were doing that to synagogues on the East Coast throughout the South? No. It wouldn't have, well, I'm not going to say that it wouldn't have happened. I mean, it's not the Jews have actually had, you know, uneasy time in the United States, but they certainly didn't do too bad in the South, at least during the slavery period. You know, I'm not talking about the you know, Jews controlled the slave trade. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Judah P. Benjamin. I'm talking about Jefferson Davis. You know, they were Jewish, and they were running the Confederate government. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, just as much racism from a religious standpoint, primarily in the United States, and, you know, prejudices that were brought over from Europe and so on, you know, it exists. It exists. Hate exists. But what I'm specifically talking about is it's a lot easier for people to understand an anti-Jewish event happening in the United States than it is to understand that every 28 hours a black person is being, you know, is being executed, being killed, being removed, being liquidated. We have the Malcolm X grassroots report. No one has been able to fault it so far because everything is documented with actual cases every 28 hours. When they first released it, it was every 36 hours. And then as they were revising it, it turned out it was every 28 hours. When they went to fact check their own work. So they released a revised report. And, you know, white folks and some black people, which I'm going to get to in a moment, you know, see the Renisha McBride case is something that was totally justified, like Trayvon Martin, like Oscar Grant, like Sean Bell, like Derek Jones, like Ayanna Jones, Marlon Brown, run over. That was supposed to happen. That was supposed to happen. And when you look at these people of color who are making these comments, they're almost always Christian. I mean, you know, they have Christian quotes and what have you all over their social media, right? And they're into gaming and they're into dirt bikes and they're into country music and they're into the belief that white people are the be all and end all of the universe. Now, you know, I don't know where this comes from. We talk about it here all the time. I write about it all the time. I don't know where it comes from. I mean, do you, brother and sister, do you know where that kind of really warped mentality comes from? Somebody that hates themselves so much that they'll take a case like Renisha McBride or Trayvon Martin or Jonathan Ferrell to push a hateful, pro-white argument in the belief that white people will like them more, that they're now justifying their space within white society, because that must be what it is. It has to be what it is. You know, how can anybody of color ignore the fact that racial terrorism, that anti-African racial terrorism, that anti-indigenous racial terrorism, that anti-Asian racial terrorism, that anti-Jewish racial terrorism that anti-Spanish-speaking Indian from south of the Rio Grande or the Rio Bravo, depending on who you ask. Racist terrorism. You know, how are we going to say that the Klan doesn't exist? I didn't say did exist. Does exist. You know, Republicans like to wash your face with, you know, the Democrats created the KKK. Well, that's true. Who disputes this? Nobody disputes this. But how many times are you going to say it? How many Klan members vote Democratic now? And after Reconstruction, what did the Republicans do to defend the rights of black people in the South? Nothing. What did they do to defend the rights of black people in the 20s, in the 30s, in the 40s? They didn't. It was Truman who integrated the army. Am I correct about that? Democrat, right? He was a bigoted son of a bitch. Now, you know, he called people niggas all the time and Chinamen and what have you. But, you know, he still integrated the army. Not because he wanted to, but because he had to, right? You know, same thing with the Republicans. They only, you know, went against slavery because they had to in order to keep the country as a landmass anyway in one piece. Tell the truth. Lincoln sent blacks out. He wanted to have a massive plan to send all blacks to Africa, but nobody wanted to pay for it. But you never hear white Republicans talk about that. Alright? You never hear Republican, black, white, otherwise talk about that. Because they're full of shit. They're white supremacists. They're neo-Confederates, nowadays anyway. And they don't have the balls to come right out and say it. See, at least Barry goddamn Goldwater had enough fucking courage to say what the fuck he was about. But see, you know, these current goddamn Republicans are full of shit. And as far as Democrats, well, I mean, Barack Obama hasn't done a fucking thing about Rhodesia McBride, has he? Now, you got a young man who they are now calling Bat Kid. I don't know his name, and it's not against him. I understand he's got a terminal disease and anything, and this isn't personal, but, you know, I got other problems. And he's in the news now, and it turns out that a charity did some big event for him to where he could be Batman and be a superhero for a day. He wanted to have this experience, and they did it for him. And that's great. And I'm sure that there's a lot of tears jerking behind that, and that's fine. And, you know, I am not insensitive to this child's needs. But see, but there's a whole lot of black children on, you know, in the same goddamn position. They have cancer, they have heart disease, they have, you know, spinal bifida, they have diabetes. And, you know, no one's giving them a day to, say, be on stage with Jay-Z or whatever. Now, they might do that every now and again. And you could say with this white kid, well, they do this kind of thing every now and again. But they've done it more often for the white ones. You dig what I'm saying? And, you know, here it is, which is not really what I'm talking about anyway. I mean, if you really want to see that whole genre being misused, all you got to do is sit and look at, go on YouTube and look at Jerry Lewis. Look at Jerry's kids, and you'll see, you know, the type of, you know, misuse of people's feelings and charity and generosity to basically maintain, you know, what? These are the poor little people that need our help, you know. So, okay, they wanted to do some propaganda for you know, the medical thing right now. You got all this stuff going on with Obamacare, so they're trying to clear the air. So, you know, they went ahead and do this Bat Kid thing. Okay, fine, that's grand. I'm happy for him. I hope for the remainder that he's on this planet, that he's with the rest of us, that, you know, that gives him some sort of happiness. Because everybody deserves to be happy. I mean, life's a drag, man. You know, and I understand all this, and that's not, I'm not knocking him, and I'm not knocking those who went ahead and mashed the grass to do that for him. But see, the leader here, Barack Obama, he came out with a special video thing for that child. And I guess that's okay. But see, Rhodesia McBride, has he done a special video for her? Or for Jonathan Ferrell? I mean, yeah, he made some comments about Trayvon Martin, but he made some comments only because the black community pushed him to make some comments. Because how did it look internationally in Africa if he didn't say anything? Because their newspapers were saying something about it. And people on the street were saying something about it. And one of the talented 10th, or Reverend Al Sharpton, or whoever the hell is up there right now who's got his ear, was able to say, hey, man, you need to say something. make a couple statements. Because he didn't say anything, basically. Oh, well, he could have been my son. Which means what? Means nothing. It means nothing. He never said a thing about police brutality. He never said anything about institutional racism that would even lead someone to have an attitude like George Zimmerman, talking about they get away with it. After he was told by the police not to engage this person, that he was not a goddamn cop. A history of racism and a history of fucking wife abuse. And this, and he's not even being held accountable for that. But I know they're going to hold the wife accountable for her perjury, though. But, you know, I mean, there's been more and more information coming out about George Zimmerman in terms of being abusive to his wife, to his family, and to other people. But, you know, to the white community here, he's a hero. He's hanging out with Steven Seagal now. You know, when he's not in Bulgaria making a film or something, when these $5 movies are hanging out with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's hanging out with neo-Nazis. You know what? Let's go look at the sites, man. ang-newswire.blogspot.com, aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com, and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com. You go look through our files there, and you'll see Arpaio, you know, taking photographs with neo-Nazis down there in Arizona. So, yeah, you know, this is who Zimmerman is, and this is the type of people that are backing Zimmerman. And if you're non-white and you're using Renisha McBride to try to gain some brownie points with your white pals, well, you know, you're just a sick son of a bitch. And, you know, especially if you're Christian, I don't know what to say about that. I don't know what to say about that. You know, Jesus wasn't white, so I don't know what the fuck your problem is. And, you know, I just wanted to get that off my chest because, you know, there's so many people out here trying to justify the indefensible that it's not even funny. And if it wasn't so, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, it's sick. There's no reason for this young woman to be dead. And all the justifications that are putting on her why she should be dead and why it's good that she's dead. And there are people saying exactly that they're glad that she's dead. The same way, and we played audio here on the show of people saying they were glad that Trayvon Martin. I mean, didn't that Vietnam era coward, what's his name here? The one who sells the jerky, Ted Nugent. And yeah, I said that because he's a fucking draft dodger. He's a fucking draft dodger. He's one of these pro-American, you know, Smith and Wesson, right? You know, kill them all, let God, you know, let God sort them out. Ted Nugent. You know, he's out here talking about Trayvon got justice. And then you got Senator Ted Cruz saying that, you know, stop and frisk defends black people, protects black people. I mean, didn't we hear that from Bloomberg who just got voted out? That they were stopping too many white men. Less than 8 out of how many? But they were stopping too many white men, even though the majority of the contraband and the weapons and all the other crap holder that they found on them, you know, that they were looking for, supposedly, was found on white people. But, of course, let's not let the facts get in the way because, you know, white paranoia, it just won't accept that. You know, it won't accept that their fears are based on nothing. And some of the actual, you know, fears that they have that even might be legitimate, they caused and they've maintained. You didn't want black people in your churches. You didn't want black people in your schools. You didn't want black people in your jobs. You didn't want black people serving you. Well, they could serve you food, I guess. They could prostitute for you, maybe. You know, they could entertain you. They, you know, you can have one nigga knock another nigga out in a ring and then give him a crown, right? But, you know, you can't look at me as your equal. You know, it's just beyond you to do that. So, you know, yeah, we're going to continue to have cases like Renisha McBride because the white man has a problem. Doesn't want to admit that he has a problem, but he's got a problem. And he really needs to get over it. You know, and consider this when you go to the polls here for this next presidential run, because if you don't think the Renisha McBride case and Jonathan Ferrell and all these other, you know, acts of violence against black people are not going to factor into the next election, you're simply not paying attention. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. When we come back, we're going to have a special discussion, and I really hope you're going to, you know, pay attention because, you know, a lot of things are going to be brought up. Please stay tuned.
Yeah. You know, a long time ago down in Mississippi, when it was slavery time, they called us niggas, you know. I didn't give a damn how light and bright you was a nigger. Right on. So this nigger was working for this white man. The white man said, nigger, say, you know, you've been working for me a long time. He said, yes, sir, boss. He said, and I hear all you niggas running right here in Mississippi talking about the niggas don't ever get no break. He said, but today, say, I'm going to give you niggas a break. He said, nigga, I'm going to put you on TV. Now I want you to tell the world how we treat the colored folks down here in Mississippi. Nigga said, boss, you sure you want me to tell them? Say, hell yeah, nigga. Say, I'm going to dress you up. Honey, buy a brand new pair of overalls. Yeah. You know, the kind with the strap on the shoulder. The one strap across the shoulder. Honey, dressed this nigga up and took him down to TV station. Say, all right, nigga. Say, you're on the air. Say, you hooked up nationwide. Nigga was scared to go on. Say, boss, you sure it's all right? Say, hell yeah, nigga, go on. Tell him what we do, how we treat you colored folks down here in Mississippi. Boss, you sure you want me to tell him? Yeah, nigga, tell him. Speak up, speak up. Nigga say, help!
Remember, brothers, liberation is near. Even if they do count our votes several times every 4 years.
Internet radio for smarter than
original. Hi, I'm Buffy St. Marie. We have overcome many obstacles in our history as Aboriginal people. We've survived. Today, we must work together, become leaders in the fight to stop the spread of HIV/AIDS in our communities. We have to think about the 7 generations ahead of us. It's a matter of survival.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Information is the best way to protect your health. Plan B, an emergency contraceptive, is now available over-the-counter, without a prescription or a doctor's appointment, for women 17 years and older. If you have had unprotected sex or have been sexually assaulted, consider Plan B to prevent an unwanted pregnancy. You have a legal right to get Plan B without a doctor's prescription. For more information, call your local Indian Health Service. If your local IHS does not carry Plan B, request that they do. Contact your local tribal health board and let them know about Plan B so they can make sure IHS provides it. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको। बेल बजाओ। घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें। ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल।